This morning I talked a bit about a place of worship in our lives, and when we look at the strategy we have as a church, that a place of worship, we're not just talking about the literal place. Yes, this is a place of worship when we all come here and worship, but we need that place of worship in us, and that's a key component to see God work, that we must understand the power of worship. We must decide that we're going to make that place in our lives, and there's a whole lot about that enables God to work. And I'll touch on that a little bit tonight, but if you want to find out more about that, grab the podcast from this morning. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is that, you know what, I believe that when we get on board with where God's going and what He's doing and what the Spirit of God's doing, we can be amazed at where He can take us and what He can do through us and what actually is possible. And I, a number of years ago, when I first got into bike riding a bit more seriously, and I probably took on the biggest challenge that I had to that point, and it was to go on this ride from Devonport in the northwest coast to Strawn over on the west coast. And it was a couple of hundred Ks and had a lot of mountains to get over and that sort of thing. But the thing that amazed me is at that point, I'd never ridden perhaps more than 100 Ks, and I'd taken on this big challenge, and my goal was just to get to the other end. And what amazed me was initially when I started off on this ride, and you know, you're all nervous, and we head off very early in the morning when it was still dark. And what amazed me was how quickly we got through the first part of the ride. I was amazed at how quickly we got through Devonport, and we'd gone up through Sheffield, and we'd sort of started to head up into the mountains, and it seemed to happen just like that. And obviously, you know, I had to turn the pedals, I had to work, but what was happening is I was in a big bunch of riders, and there's a principle in bike riding, and it's actually called drafting. And, you know, you sit behind somebody else who's in front of you, and while they're there, they're breaking the, I'm going to say breaking the wind, but breaking the air, and they might be breaking wind, who knows? Depends what they've been eating. And as you sit behind them, it actually takes at least 30% or more less effort to be there, and it's so much easier. And then when you get a big bunch of bikes together, that even goes up, and it's amazing. The peloton, as they often call a big bunch, takes on this sense of energy, and it just goes. So I got to that point, and it wasn't so much about even my ability or my fitness or any of those things. It was about the energy of the bunch and the peloton that I was riding with that enabled me to knock over, you know, probably the first quarter of that ride very quickly and easily, and I was quite amazed at that. And you know what, I think this year we're in for an exciting year as a church, and many of you are thinking, well, how can I be part of what God's doing? What can He just use me? Can He just use someone that doesn't feel like they're completely prepared? I certainly wasn't ready for that ride. I didn't know everything that I needed. I'm a lot more experienced as a rider now, and I would approach it differently to what I did then. But I got through, and I got finished, and I got encouraged, and I got inspired by what I was doing. And a lot of it was because I was just in a bunch that had energy. Now, the Spirit of God is actually doing things. And He wants us to jump on board with what He's doing. And you will be amazed in this year. We're in March already, as someone's already said tonight. But you will be amazed. We've got lots coming up in our church, and God's got lots He wants to do in your life this year. But you will be amazed when you jump on board with what He's doing at the fact that He can actually do more in you than you ever thought was possible. He can actually take you to places that you never thought you were going to be able to go. And I think if we get into the flow or the current of what God is doing, we can actually live at a level which is beyond our ability and our experience. If you get in, and I'm going to talk about how we can do that tonight, but if you get in to the spirit of what God is doing, if you jump in to the flow or the river of what God is doing, you will find yourself being able to be part of things. You will find yourself being able to live at a level that is above and beyond your ability and experience. And I'm going to read some verses in a minute, and they're about a river, and it's a picture of a river, and it talks about the Spirit of God. But I want to just talk a little bit about water before we do that. And of course, water supports life, doesn't it? And we've been through, you know, in an area that people think is a relatively wet area in Australia. Hobart's actually one of the driest capital cities in our country, and we've been through a season where we haven't had very much rain. And things are drying out. And Alex and I put in a whole lot of stuff around our garden, and we put in a veggie garden, and it was, you know, it was growing. And then all of a sudden, as things dried out, it was like somebody turned the switch off. Everything just seemed to stop. We were watering and trying our best, but it was just like the fact that things heated up and there wasn't the water there, that everything actually stopped. Because water supports life. And there's some things that I've found out at a personal level about water too. That, you know what, when we dehydrate, there are some things that happen to us. You've got to drink water all the time. When we dehydrate, there are some things that happen. One thing is that our breath smells. Did you know that? When you get dehydrated, you get bad breath. So that's a good reason not to get dehydrated. You become lethargic. Has anyone experienced that? You experience fatigue. You get muscle weakness. You get poor concentration. I don't have to be dehydrated to have that. You get headaches, dizziness, and decreased metabolism. So when you become dehydrated, basically you stink and you're not switched on to what's going on. Jesus said this, and he stood in the temple in Jerusalem, and it was a feast. And on the last day of that feast, he said this in John 7:37 and 38. It says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may drink, for the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from his heart or her heart. One of the things I found out about my bike riding is that you've got to drink regularly, and you've got to drink even when you don't feel like it. And sometimes the harder you're working, the more you need it, the less you actually feel like drinking. And when you don't feel like drinking is the very time you need to feel like drinking. And we've got a saying, and they talk about this in endurance sport, that you've got to drink before you're thirsty and you've got to eat before you're hungry. Because if you don't drink before you're thirsty and you get yourself hungry, well, your body just shuts down and it stops working. And I think if we want to get on board with what God's doing in a spiritual context, we've got to make sure that we're drinking before we feel like we're thirsty. In other words, before we become so dry that somehow our attitude starts to stink and we become fatigued. And it's like we can't get on with what we're called to do. We've got to drink before we get to that stage. We've got to eat. We've got to take in the goodness of the word, you know, before we actually feel like there's nothing left and we've got nothing left to give. The problem is human nature is, oh, well, I'll wait till I feel like that. And then we go looking for it. But you know what? If we want to get on board with what God's doing, I want to encourage you with a couple of things. First of all, drink before you're thirsty. And the Bible actually talks about maintaining a thirst all the time. But drink before, you know, you're so dry that you're not thinking straight. Drink before you're so dry that your breath smells. Drink before you're so dry that you feel fatigued. You know, drink before you're thirsty. In other words, do it all the time. Eat before you're hungry. Let's keep on taking in the goodness of God. How do we jump into the current of God's will and the leading of His Spirit? A Bible commentator who I very much like says this. He says, but when we experience the mighty gushing torrent of the rivers of living water that flow from the Spirit of God right through the center of our life, everything begins to live and life becomes significant and full for us. And it says this in Ezekiel 47. And Ezekiel was this, he's actually one of, in today's age, he would be one of the coolest prophets in the Old Testament. Why? Because he was the weirdest. Like he did just really weird stuff. Like what, you know, he would actually role play some of his prophecies. You know, one time he got out in the city square and he actually, for a couple of weeks, I can't remember the exact time, I'd have to look it up, but he laid on one side and everybody's coming around, hey, what are you doing? You know, like, it was like John Lennon, you know, and it's a bit, anyone heard of John Lennon? And then he laid on the other side, and another time he actually had to dig holes in the back of his house, and other times he had to do stuff that was a bit disgusting, actually. I'm not even going to tell you. But he, you know, he did all this weird stuff. So people would think he's, nowadays would think he's cool because he's so weird. So this is the guy, and he has this vision. And he says this in Ezekiel 47. It says, in my vision, a man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. In my vision, a man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And I want to say, if we want to jump in to the river and the spirit of what God is doing, like we were talking about this morning, he was taken to the temple. Why was he taken to the temple? Because the temple represented a place of worship. A place of worship is so significant in our lives. And this morning we said, a place of worship is a place where we find freedom through Christ's ultimate sacrifice. A place of worship is a place of prayer. A place of worship is a place where we set apart to remember what God has done. A place of worship is also a place of revelation. A place where we find fresh, new revelation. So the prophet was taken to this very place at the start of the vision. And then the text goes on. It says, there I saw a stream flowing east beneath the door of the temple, passing to the right of the altar on its south side. Then the man brought me outside the wall through the north gate, and he led me around the entrance. There I could see water flowing out of the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 750 feet, and he led me across the water. It was up to my ankles. He measured off another 750 feet and he led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. Another 750 feet and it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1750 feet and the water was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. Then he asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, the river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea pure again. There will be streams of living things wherever this water flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever it goes. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea all the way from in Gadi to El Gelam. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just like they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and the swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they'll be watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be there, and the leaves will be for healing. This vision's a pretty incredible one, because this picture is actually repeated about three times throughout the whole Bible. And it's a picture, first and foremost, of a group of people that have been kicked out of or been taken out of their home country, and they were living as exiles in another country. And it was a picture of hope and renewal and future for their land actually coming back together. It was about their temple being restored, that place of worship being put back where it belonged. And then it's also a picture of the life when Jesus actually comes and reigns literally, physically on this earth. And it's a picture of what's actually going to happen in those days. And then we've got another, John talks about this in Revelation, and we see a picture of what actually happens in heaven, and the life that actually flows from the throne of God in another dimension, in another realm. You know what? Whatever God's doing in the big picture, did you know what? Everything he does is scalable. What he's doing across eternity, he is actually doing the same thing in our lives. And the Bible actually tells us really clearly that we are all temples of the Holy Spirit. So that same river that flows from this temple is a picture of the Spirit of God that actually wants to flow from each of you and each of us. And it's also a picture of how we actually can receive life when we actually understand that we come to this place of worship in our lives and allow the Spirit of God to actually flow. You'll be amazed at what happened. And as the prophet watches, he sees it, and he sees that it first of all flows past. The first thing it says is it flows past the altar. So the first thing about this is that it comes over the altar. What was the altar? It was a place of sacrifice. And the first thing about a place of worship is that it's only made possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And as the prophet sees this, he sees this river flowing past the place of sacrifice. And one of the things that we've got to learn as Christians is that we can never drink from the river of the Spirit unless we're willing to take it in through what Jesus has done for us on the cross. You know, you can want the Spirit in your life all you like, but it's actually accepting that he died for us so that we can be made new through that enables the Spirit to flow in our lives. And the second thing about this river is that it came from the throne. And it talks about an authority. You see, the Spirit of God comes with an authority. It actually comes meaning that it's not just an airy-fairy thing that sort of we understand is this touchy-feely thing. You know, the Spirit of God actually comes from God himself. It is God himself. And he actually wants us to experience his authority in our life. And it said this river actually flows, and it's an amazing picture. It flows out from under the door of the temple, and it actually gets bigger and increases as it goes, and it actually tells us there that no other rivers flow into it. You know what? The authority of God doesn't need to be added to. It doesn't need to be watered down, and it will actually increase as we let it flow in our lives. You know, sometimes it starts like a small stream, but when we let it flow, there is something supernatural about that where it actually increases and it gains momentum, and other people and things and problems and circumstances get swept up as the Spirit of God flows through our life with the authority of God. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to add this idea or that thing or that. Just allow the Spirit of God to be in your life flowing, because it comes from the authority of God. The next thing about the prophet is he's being led. And essentially he's being, you know, led by the Spirit of God himself. It's probably Jesus leading him through this picture. And he says, "And the man led me." You know, if we want to jump into what God is doing, we've got to be led. We've got to allow him to lead us. We've got to allow him to take us by the hand and actually lead us through the river. And it's interesting the way he starts. The next thing is, he says, he leads me through the river and it's up to my ankles. Sometimes when people start the journey with God, it's like, oh, gee, I'm a bit, I don't know about that. I don't know about this church stuff. I don't know about these weird people. I'm not sure about that. And people come and it's like, oh, yeah, they put their toe in. They just sort of turn up and see what happens. Just like Leonie did. She was on holiday, having a honeymoon in the UK, and found herself in a church, and, oh, I'll just put my toe in. And a miracle happened. She got saved. And then she can tell you she's been led to the next levels as it goes on. But you know, let's understand that you know, we start off ankle deep. And you've got to start where you are. You don't have to suddenly think, oh, I've got to be a super spiritual Christian, or I've got to be this. You know, for some of us, it's just put your toe in the water. For some of us, it's actually say, I'll take my shoe off and I'm gonna open myself up to what the Spirit of God would do in me. Maybe you've been brought up in a way and an understanding. You haven't experienced the fullness of the Spirit of God. My encouragement is, let's put our toe in the water. Let's decide that we're God's going to look after you. He's not going to put you in a place where you're going to be freaked out. He's actually going to manage and look after you in that. I encourage you, put your toe in the water and see what God will do. And he goes on, and then he's led up to his knees. And he gets to a place where, you know, our knees, what do our knees represent? Well, our knees represent a place of prayer. He goes from just having his ankle in the water where, oh, gee, is this too cold to be in? Can I be in this place? And suddenly he finds that's all right. And he gets up to his knees, and prayer represents that place of hunger. That place where we say, hey, God, I want you to fill me more. I've trusted you up to my ankles. Now I'm up to my knees, and I actually want you to fill me a bit further. If we want to jump into what God is doing, we've been on this journey of 40 days of prayer. We've actually got to get hungry before God. And so I'm using that in a little bit of a different context to what I was talking about before. But you know what? We've actually got to say, we've got to pray, and we've got to declare, and we've got to be passionate, and we've got to ask God to fill us if we want to jump in to the river of the Spirit of what God is doing. And then he's up to his waist. So he's more in the water than he's out. You should watch. Alex and I go swimming sometimes, and we've got two very different ways of entering the water. We both sort of start by getting up to our ankles. And maybe then up to my knees. And then I just really can't go through the next bit. There is only one way to do it. It is actually take some really big steps, run, jump, and dive in. And it's done. Alex, by the time I've finished my swim and back on the beach, warming up in hopefully the sun, Ali is still trying to get above her waist. And she's gingerly taking another step. And another, you know, and it sort of gets up there. Woo! It's true, isn't it, Al? And eventually, this prophet, like Alex in the water, gets into a point where it's above his waist. He's actually, when you're above your waist, that's the hard bit to get through, isn't it? When you go into the water, it's like, okay, I can handle it up to here. It's all right, but whoo! And you're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. And he's more in than out. He's fully committed. Because to go in over your waist in the water, you are committed. It's not like you can sort of, you know, roll your trousers up and go in over your waist. When you do that, you're fully committed. He's more in than out. And if we want to get into the place where God's going to work through us, we've got to be more in than out. We've got to jump right in. And the other place is the older versions of the Bible use this, he says, it was up to my loins. And obviously the term loins, it talks about a position of power. It's talking about the reproductive aspect of loins, you know, where that place of power and authority and new life is. And so you're up to your waist, it's over there. And when we get in, more in than out, there's a sense of the power of the Spirit in our life. We can't have the power of the Spirit in our life if we're trying to be more out than in. But when we get more in, and that's like over our waist, and we're fully in, well, God can actually work in our life in a much more powerful way because we are actually all in. And then he says, it was deep enough to swim, and I couldn't walk through it. He's all in. It's over his head. Totally committed. Being swept along by the current of God's grace and God's Spirit. And you know what? If you want God to work in your life, if as a church we want to go to the new places, we want to go places we haven't been before, now what? We've got to be all in. We've got to allow the Spirit of God. And we're not just, you know, hey, start where you are. Maybe for you it's just putting your toe in the water and saying, you know, Lord, I want you to start working in me. And maybe for somebody else, you've been in that place and he's saying, you know what? Come on, let's start to get passionate. Let's start to pray. Let's start to ask him to fill you. Maybe you've sort of been in that place, but the next step is to say, you know what? I'm going to be more in than out. I'm actually going to be into that place where, you know, perhaps it feels like it's going to be a bit uncomfortable, but I'm actually going to step right in to the things that he's doing. And it's going to be over my waist. It's going to be up there, but, you know, I'm fully committed. And then when we get to that point, it's like, okay, well, I'm up to my waist. I might as well just dive in and start swimming. And when we're in that place, you know, we actually get swept along by the current of God's Spirit and his grace. Like my experience all those years ago of riding a bike and experiencing the power of the Peloton and actually being able to ride beyond my own ability. You know what? This year, God wants you all in. He wants you in the flow of his Spirit, and he wants to take you beyond your ability, beyond your experience, beyond your pain, beyond your suffering, beyond your fears. He wants to take you to new places if we're prepared to be all in, if we're prepared to allow the Spirit of God to flow and rush right over us. If the band want to join me, please, that would be really cool. And it's interesting when you look at this vision that he had and the impact that river had on the land. That river flowed, first of all, out of the temple, and it gains momentum and its flow gets deeper and stronger. And then it flows out through the land. It flows out through the desert, and it flows into the Dead Sea. And where the land was dry and barren, it brings life. If we've got the Spirit of God flowing through us like that, we're actually going to bring life and healing to those that are around us. Not us personally, but the Spirit of God flowing through us. It says about the trees that grew along the banks of that river, their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be food and their leaves will bring healing. Who needs to jump in another level? Maybe tonight you feel like, hey, I'm going to put my toe in the water. That's cool. Maybe somebody else has just got to get on their knees and say, hey, Lord, fill me. Show me your Spirit. Maybe someone else is like, hey, let's take the next step. I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to step in. It's just overcoming that fear of it being a bit cold or a bit uncomfortable. You've got to take that next step. Maybe you're sort of like standing in the water. You're experiencing the presence of God. Maybe it's like Jemima's leading us tonight, and you're standing there and you're experiencing the Spirit of God actually flowing over you, and you're experiencing the peace that actually comes when someone like Jemima is obedient to what the Holy Spirit is doing and leads us in that. And maybe for you it's taking the next step and saying, I'm actually going to go from just being ministered to being all in, to actually jumping in the flow of the Spirit of what God is doing. Like, just just as we finish, if you would like us to pray for you right now, whatever level you're at, I just believe the Holy Spirit wants people to go to another level here tonight. Some of you, it's just to put your toe in the water. Some of it's just say, Holy Spirit, you know, you might believe in Jesus. You've had that experience. You know what it is to come to that place of sacrifice. You know what Jesus did for you, but you just need him to fill you with his Spirit. Without any hype or anything at all, I'm going to get the band to lead us in just a sec. But I just want you to, those that are going to another level right now, just step out where you are, come and stand along the front here, and we're just going to pray. I'm going to just walk along, lay hands on people, and I just believe there's going to be a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit here tonight as we go through that. So just, we can all stand now, but if that's you, you just want to be prayed for in that, just come out from where you are, and we're actually going to start to pray for people in that place.
Jesus, holy, yes and amen.
I just want to encourage you right now to be encouraged. I believe that God would want to say to you now that the Holy Spirit would want to bring a sense of encouragement to you. And you don't have to fight it. You don't have to. He's actually saying to you now that you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel like you're not worthy. You don't have to feel like there's anything that you've been through that discounts you. He just actually wants to come and fill you with joy and the fullness of all He is. And He's just saying to you, He's so happy with you. He's so pleased that you're in His family. And He just wants you to receive right now. Receive what He's doing in you.
I want more of you.
Dave and Diane, I see, it's almost like I see a new family. I see, it's not like you've got to get rid of the old one, but I see other people coming into your world. I see you in that place where God has got you, being strategically positioned. I see you looking after people. I see you raising people up. I see you like being a mother and a father in a whole region and a whole area. And, you know, you'll be surprised at what God's going to open up. And I just think it's in you. It's like you've got to allow that to flow. You've got to be confident that that's what He's going to do. And when those opportunities come, just be naturally who you are and let His love flow from you. And I think there are going to be so many people that are going to be part of your journey and part of your world. And it's going to, you know, feel like, hey, you know what? We're part of a whole new family. We're part of a whole new season. Jono, who I just met as we walked in tonight, I want to encourage you, mate. This year's a time for you to take on a confidence in who you are in God. You're not on a search to sort of find what that is. It's a bit like, you know, God's actually wanting you to know that you are completely new and that you've got in Christ everything you need for the journey that's ahead. You are not looking for yourself. You have been found, and He is doing a new thing in you, and He wants you to make decisions, and He wants you to step forward with a renewed confidence this year, because He's actually in you and you're not fighting for that. That is already there. And I often say this, and I just feel it's really important for you to get this, that you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. You're stepping into those things from a position and a place that has already been won.